Welcome to Fellowship Talks, your weekly connection to the life and ministry of Fellowship Bible Church. It is our desire that this podcast will reinforce your worship on Sundays and encourage you as you live your life for Christ this week. Here are your hosts, Dan Schaefer and Amy Scrivanos.
Welcome to Fellowship Talks. This is the podcast made specifically for Fellowship Bible Church in Central Arkansas. We are one church in multiple locations. We have campuses in Cabot, Benton, Fellowship Espanol, West Little Rock, and Midtown. My name is Dan Schaefer. I'm your host for Fellowship Talks. But unfortunately, today, my co-host is not with us. Amy Scrivanos had a few days off, and we're meeting with one of our mission partners today who had to do the podcast today, and Amy wasn't able to make it. So filling in for Amy, because she's not able to be here, I have the Alyssa Williams. Alyssa, it's good to have you today. Thanks for jumping in here with on the podcast with us.
It's a pleasure to be here. Thanks for asking.
Alyssa, I asked you to come in because you are our global missions pastor here at Fellowship.
Yes, sir.
Why don't you tell a little bit Fellowship a little bit more about your role and what you do, just so people can get to know you a little bit better?
As global missions pastor, I'm kind of like a liaison between Fellowship and our partners. And so for Fellowship, I inform and equip them, of what God is doing around the world and equip them to do effective cross-cultural ministry. And then for our missions partners, I assist and advocate. I assist in their needs and prayer and things like that, and then advocate for I'm their voice here. And engaging people with them.
Yeah. So. Yeah. And as far as the podcast side goes, you're always letting me know when our mission partners are here in Little Rock so that we can get them on the podcast for our church to get to know. So no matter what campus you're at, you can listen to the podcast and hear about our missions partners. So fits perfectly today because Kevin Phillips is with us. And Kevin is part of FAM. Actually, you founded FAM, right?
My wife and I had the privilege to get it started back in 2009.
Yeah, well, welcome to Fellowship today. Welcome to the podcast.
Thanks, man. We're glad to be here. This is awesome to get to hang out with you guys.
And FAM stands for?
The For All Mankind Movement.
For All Mankind Movement. Where did that come from?
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. You know, when you're thinking of what you're going to name your organization, it seems like all the good names are taken, right? So you start searching around, you come up with crazy stuff. But really, if you really want to know, like, the inside, where this came from, we were watching that new movie that came out like 2007 called The Nativity, and it was like a in the theaters type movie.
Right. I remember that one.
Yeah. So we're watching it, and we weren't even thinking about FAM yet. And it comes a time where Mary's holding the new baby Jesus in the cave, and the old craggly old shepherd comes in, right, and he's like, "Hey, can I hold the baby?" And she pulls back as if to say no, and then you see her shoulders drop down, and you see her face expression change. And she extends the baby out to the shepherd and says, "He is for all mankind," you know. And I told my wife in the theater, it was her birthday actually, I said, "You know, if I ever start another ministry, that's what I'm going to name it." Well, a year later, we started FAM. We were in the process of filing our 501c3. We needed a name. We're praying. We're searching. It's Christmas Eve. We have the kids down on pallets on the floor. Rook and I are on the couch. The Christmas tree's going. And we're watching the Nativity, right? Getting fired up. And all of a sudden, it comes back. We're at the cave. She's holding the baby. The old scraggly shepherd walks in. Shoulders drop. Face changes. And she holds the baby out and says, "He is for all mankind." I jump off the couch. I'm like, "That's it. That's what we're naming it." And then we filed it. And the spiritual side of it is, we even when we didn't have movements of disciple making and church planting, but by God's grace we do now. But we knew what our orientation was. We knew where we were going. And so we put the word movement in our name just to posture us and remind us not only of who we're going to be, but who we want to be. So we put it the For All Mankind
you've
movement.
You've become that.
Yeah, it has.
I mean, it's a movement that's gone well beyond the labor camps.
Oh, yeah.
Ten regions in India, or 10 states in India, and then 4 states beyond.
Well, we're currently in Pakistan, but we have work emerging in a couple of others. We've adopted 8 in South Asia as we pursue those.
So this is 8 countries?
Yeah, we've adopted 8 countries that are known as the SARC region. It's the equivalent of NAFTA. It's a trade federation for South Asia. It includes Afghanistan, Pakistan, Nepal, Bangladesh, the Maldives, Sri Lanka, India, Did I get them all?
Some of the darkest places in the world.
Yeah. Mm. They make up over 20% of the Earth's population, but only 3% of the world's land mass.
I was going to say, as you're naming those countries, those are some of the scariest places for Americans to think about going.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. 25% are in the top five for the world's most persecuted countries. Mm-hmm. 50% are in the top 10.
Yeah.
And all of them are in the top 40. Yeah. And currently, in current event language, they're all under immense turmoil currently right now. I mean, it's a tough time in South Asia right now. Mm-hmm. But God's showing up in amazing ways in our ministry and others.
That's good. Mm-hmm. Well, let's back up for just a second, because I think a lot of fellowship will remember you and FAM because of the compassion kits that we did probably about 4 years ago, where we as a church rallied together, put all these compassion kits together. We put them together in the plazas of all of our campuses, and we sent them out for your ministry to be handed out in those countries. But how long have we been partnered with FAM, Elisa?
We've been partnered with FAM for 6 years now.
That's right.
We did the compassion kit party was done before we took our first short-term trip team there.
And now have we had short-term trips going every year? Serve with FAM?
Pretty much. Well, we were going to go to Nepal, but then the earthquake happened like 2 weeks before we were supposed to go. So that year we didn't go. And the next year we had to change from Nepal to India because Nepal was not quite ready to bring people in yet.
And we have another mission trip getting ready to go out to, how do you say it, West Bengal? India in October, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
October 11th through the 19th.
Are all the spots for that trip filled?
Oh, no.
You're still looking for people to sign
up
and go?
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
Okay, awesome.
So it's unlimited.
Elisa, can you tell us why, as a church, why we, Fellowship, partner with a ministry like FAM? When you're looking for ministries to partner with, why did you choose FAM?
FAM has got such a great foundation for indigenous movement. It started in the labor camps, and I'm sure Kevin will be able to expound on that. But what they do is they train the people, and they aren't the ones that are making the multiplying movement. It's they work with the people, and they take it back to their countries. Mm-hmm. So when they started within the labor camps, and they started working with who's the West Bengal leader? I forgot.
Anatosh
and Rana. Then they are the ones that bring it back to their states within their countries and start developing. They're the foundation. They're the ones that give the training, the materials. But then they leave it with their arms open.
Yeah, you're real passionate, and we as a church are real passionate about helping train nationals
absolutely
to take the movement of the church themselves.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So FAM is a ministry that comes along and does just that.
Absolutely.
Kevin, why don't you tell us a little bit in a broad scale, what is FAM and what kind of work do you guys do?
Sure. You know, it's kind of had some evolutions in our vision statement and mission statement. Well, truly, the vision statement's always held. When Brooke and I went to start the ministry, we caught a vision to reach, equip, and send. What we saw was a context in the Middle East, in a particular city of Dubai, where we had these inaccessible and unreached people groups coming from all over the earth, crashing in this relatively small city of 3 million people, being highly concentrated in population centers called labor camps, but being very disenfranchised with life. As we saw that, we caught a vision that if we could take our life and plant it right in the midst of that humanity and just do three things, and those three things remain as our vision statement right at the time we're about to celebrate our 10-year anniversary, and that was to reach and reach them appropriately. But good evangelism alone will not produce a movement. So we said we not only reach them, but we need to equip them so they can do the same. And that's where it comes in, the indigenous leadership development. So we created our own very unique reproducible disciple-making process. Whenever you think about getting to a movement, which we are a movement-oriented ministry, you have to have a couple of things within your drivetrain to see that happen. One is a way to go to scale. We're talking about areas we work in. We work at states at a time. So we don't go after one area, one village, one people group. We go after whole states. So let's take the state of Arkansas that we're in right now, for instance. State of Arkansas is 3 million people, give or take.
Yep.
Statistics say that of that 3 million, 50% of them not only consider themselves Christian, but would almost put the label of Baptist on their name. That's the statistic that's out there. That's the conditions of the state of Arkansas. We work in states that are about the same geographic landmass, but instead of having 3 million people, they have 35 to 110 million people.
Wow.
Instead of having 50% calling themselves Baptist, we have less than 1% that know anything about Jesus. Mm. When you're up against those kind of numbers, inside your strategy, you have to have a way to go to scale. Mm. And the second thing is you have to have a reproducible disciple-making process. Mm. So we went into reach, and we use orality and storytelling and high relationships to do that. Then we go to scale with a reproducible disciple-making process called D2D, disciple to disciple. And we have what's called a breakthrough strategy to take that expansive across a geography of a state within a relatively short period of time. And not only did we reach equip, but we also sending them back and sending them out to be missionaries to their own people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're in a place where you said 1% know anything about Jesus.
Less than 1%.
Yeah. So that people don't even know the name of Jesus.
No, in any language.
Yeah. So what happens when you start talking about Jesus to somebody? Like, what's that look like?
Man, it's so beautiful. You know, we're up against kingdoms of this world that are labeled as Islam and Hinduism and Buddhism. And then just materialism, right? It's so prevalent in our culture. It's prevalent in other cultures as well. Even among the poor and destitute, materialism can still be a reigning kingdom in your life. Mm-hmm. So as we confront with that, we found that we get big ears to hear when we're communicating the gospel. When we don't go in with presuppositions and just preaching at them or things like that, but when we go in with the story of God in story form, having good dialogical discussion, and gathering them first, then to win them to Christ. Mm-hmm. So we seek out a true person of peace, somebody God's been preparing. Mm-hmm. Then we build a group around their affinity group. So now we have relatives and neighbors and friends all gathering up consciously to hear these Bible stories, to discuss them with a trained leader. And here's what we're seeing. I mean, it's pretty amazing. Just in the month of April, we had our best month in 10 years in the month of April. Yeah. Our month of April, we saw every day, 35 story groups, these outreach Bible studies planted, started every day. Every day, 35 of them.
Wow.
We saw 260 people coming into those groups and attending weekly every day.
Wow.
In 2000, just in April.
Okay. All right. So I was on your website at GoFam with two M's.
Yes.
GoFamm.org.
That's it.
GoFam.org. And I was looking at some of the numbers that you guys post there. These, and you've only been around, what, nine, 10 years?
About to celebrate. Just in a few months, it'll be our 10-year anniversary.
Okay. God is definitely moving in this area of the world, and he's calling people to himself, because some of these numbers I was reading were unreal.
They are real.
They are real. Yeah. All right, so 46,700 baptisms you guys have seen.
And those are baptisms in a place when they make a proclamation of faith that's public like that. Mm-hmm. That's life-changing.
Mm. Yeah.
That's absolutely unbelievable.
You bet. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so they're giving their lives to Christ and then declaring it through baptism.
Yeah, you know, when I was baptized, well, I look at baptism in a couple of ways. Being an Arkansas boy myself, growing up in a pastor's family, I got baptized when I was six. I don't know if you guys ever experienced that. Elisa didn't. She didn't grow up in that kind of home. But I was baptized, which means I just got dunked when I was a little kid. I didn't know what I was talking about. Then I got baptized when I was 12 after I truly became a follower of Christ. I was saved. What we're seeing in India is we're seeing adults being publicly baptized. We have a ton of professions of faith. Mm-hmm. We track them lightly, but they're not one of our core metrics. Mm-hmm. We've seen that as we pursue disciple making, a greater metric to gauge our evangelistic effectiveness is the baptism statistic. So what we're seeing in a South Asian context is when adults make a profession of faith, that's great and good. We believe a lot of people are getting saved. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But for discipleship, when an adult person is baptized, what they're doing is crossing a community barrier.
Right. Right.
So those 46,000 over the first 9 years were adults that were publicly baptized at risk to their life and their livelihood to say, bold and public, I'm a follower of Christ. Let me tell you a quick story about that. Our guy that led our work in Dubai, who was persecuted and kicked out of the country, he just went back to where he lives and has started to work back in Pakistan for us.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And that work's going great. They've doubled since January. They're baptizing a person a day in Pakistan as of April. And I just got 42 WhatsApp pictures from him last night of the baptism service they had yesterday.
Oh, wow.
And he said in the WhatsApp message, he said, "Brother, yesterday was a special day for me as I baptized my father and several of my other relatives and two 80-year-old men." He said, "We bought them these little kiddie pools to have more private baptism services." Yeah. And he goes, "My family said, we do not want to be baptized in the kiddie pool. We will be baptized in the canal in front of the whole village.
Wow.
So everyone knows in this house we are serving the Lord."
Wow.
And that is the type of baptisms we're having. So I think sometimes when people hear this, that level of baptism, we had 25 adults baptized every day in the month of April. Every day, just last month, right? And when they hear that, they tend to think, well, it must be weak or it must be wishy-washy. Man, we're seeing awesome indicators of deep and life commitment, transformation
and
discipleship.
You have this grandfather who is declaring, everyone must know that we serve the Lord. We're going to do this publicly.
In an area where they really revere and elders.
So two things come to mind when you're talking about this. One is the parable that Jesus told about spreading the seed, right?
Yeah.
So baptisms for you guys are tracking the people that, or the seed that was sown and took root and is growing. Right? These aren't the ones that are falling away. These are the people that are consciously making this decision, putting their life on the line, putting their families on the line to follow Jesus.
Yeah.
And the other thing that I was thinking while you were saying that is you were talking about Pakistan. You mentioned Afghanistan earlier. Mm-hmm. Usually in our context here in the South, in America, when we hear about those countries, it's because of news reports and what our military is doing. And it's kind of scary stuff, or we've gotten used to it and we don't pay much attention to it.
Yeah.
But God is moving in those countries, and people are coming to know him, and families are declaring that they are following Jesus.
You betcha.
That's amazing. Yep. That's amazing. We don't hear that enough. We need to hear that more.
Yeah, that's right. We don't have to have any direct work in Afghanistan yet. It's one of our target countries, and we know it's going to be a tough nut to crack for sure.
Yeah.
But we're just believing that everywhere God sends us within our calling and gifting and offices that we hold within the greater kingdom, seems like wherever he's ready to put fam, it's harvest time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So we know we're reaping where we have not sown.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
We come in to do our part. So what that also tells me is when a church like Fellowship partners with FAM, when we all come together in that, it's saying, wow, there's a certain area of the harvest field that God wants FAM to operate and God wants Fellowship to operate. Mm-hmm. And when those two missional agendas come together, in our economy, we're saying it looks like there's something we can do better together than we can apart.
Yeah.
So when Fellowship partners with FAM, in the tradition and history of how God has used us, we're going to be going into harvest fields together for harvest time. We can't guarantee that or manipulate it, but just in looking back over the last 25 years of ministry, that's what God has done with us. And that's in the last 10 years what he's doing with FAM and in our partnership.
That's really cool.
One of the trips that we took, I believe it was the one in 2014, the way FAM runs their short-term trips is we all go over together, but then we break off, and there's a target area that the leaders are really super prepared for to receive us and for them to go out. So then we break up into teams of three. And the three go, it's almost like a spoke. They go out into to different areas surrounding each day, and so they saturate an entire area. And one evening we did compassion kits, kit party, and there's a gospel story, but there's a testimony, there's a hook story, and then a gospel story, all, you know, oral. There was a mayor of the city, of the village that was there. And that person became a believer. And because that one person, as a leader of the community, became a believer, and we're talking men, the whole village became raised their hands to pray the prayer of salvation that night. And it was a beautiful impactful for the team mm-hmm. that was there
yeah.
to bring it back here.
Yeah.
That in that connection of fam and fellowship in that mm-hmm. ministry together, you know, that kind of mm-hmm. of an effect was made and then able to be brought back.
Well, Elisa, as Kevin is talking, you were pumping your fists in the air and cheering yes, him on. Right. You weren't vocal about it, but you were pumping your fists in the air and you were swinging your arms. So I apologize because she was hitting a couple mics while she was doing that. The passion was rising inside of you. What is getting you so excited as Kevin was talking about that stuff?
That's a dark area, you know, whether it's here in the United States, wherever it is, there are a lot of spiritual disciplines we can do for an eternity, mm-hmm. almost all of them, worship and discipleship and encouragement and praising. We get to do that for an eternity. Mm-hmm. There's a spiritual discipline we don't get to do for an eternity. There's a time limit.
Yes.
Mm. And that's evangelism. And bringing those that would otherwise go to, you know, we just heard about hell yesterday, mm-hmm. you know, in our services, that would otherwise go to an eternity not mm-hmm. with God.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. These people are coming to Christ. That family of God is getting mm-hmm. bigger. Oh, my word, that's a beautiful, fabulous thing. And, mm-hmm. I mean, yes.
That's worthy of
nothing
a
more beautiful.
That's right.
And, exactly. and we're talking those numbers. Man can't do mm-hmm. those numbers aren't.
I'm glad you said that.
Those seem like made up.
Yeah, I was gonna say, Kevin, you seem like a smart guy. You seem like you know what
I
you're
seem
doing.
Like it.
You're organized. You put movements together. You're pretty good at this stuff, but. You're not good enough for these kind of numbers. This is definitely God involved in it. God is moving, and you're just jumping in with it.
From day one, we knew we were totally dependent on God. If you saw how we operate in the harvest fields mm-hmm. with the method of communication, we strategically and intentionally put ourselves in that great corner of the table mm-hmm. that said we are dependent upon the Holy Spirit. If the Holy Spirit does not move here, nothing's going to happen. Mm-hmm. It's too simplistic. It's weak in the hands of man. So we love that mm-hmm. position. That's the best position we can get in. And then we trust that he's going to show up. We believe he's going to use indigenous leaders. We believe he's mm-hmm. going to use those that have had no special training. We trust in the Lord so much, we're not going to try to over-control it or hold on to it too tightly. You know, we're going to hold on, but we're going to hold on loosely. Right. Mm-hmm. And that loosely is to stay dependent upon God, mm-hmm. to trust him for the results. And I love what a guy wrote in a book called An Insanity of Obedience. His pseudonym in the book is Nick Ripken. And he wrote a great statement. He said, we've seen people coming to Christ all over the world in some of the darkest corners where it seems no evangelistic witness has been given, but somehow, some way, they heard the gospel and responded. But he said this. He said, we've never seen a church planted out of those out of that evangelism that hasn't had a human partner in it. So as dependent as we get on God, as much as we're trusting the Holy Spirit, then we say, we got to show up. We got to be there mm-hmm. to be that human partner that he's choosing to use and bring all of our gifts, all of our talent, all of our intellect, mm-hmm. all of our resources to bear
right.
on this current and great need mm-hmm. for reaching these unreached people for Christ.
So as our church is listening to this podcast, whether they're driving or getting ready in the morning or running on their workout or whatever, what do you want our church, Fellowship, to know about FAM, and how can you invite us to be a part of what you're doing?
You know, you asked Elisa a great question. You said, why do you want to partner with FAM, mm-hmm. or what are you looking for in this partnership? And what came to my mind was, what do we want a partnership with Fellowship for? Mm-hmm. You know, and we've put some great language to it, and it's kind of played out over the last 10 years. That's made a lot of sense. Mm-hmm. And what I want the Fellowship community to hear is that FAM is looking for, why would we partnership with Fellowship? Mm-hmm. And here's mm-hmm. why we do it, okay? We do it because we're very church-centric, so much so that we've dedicated our life, and for lack of better words, to be producing the church among those that are yet to be reached. Mm-hmm. And to produce that not yet church among the unreached, we've made ourselves completely dependent and intentionally designed it to partner with the existing church among the reach to go and produce the not yet church among the unreached. So when we look at partnering with Fellowship, we're saying, okay, we know our missional agenda and you know yours. Let's come together and see if these missional agendas match up, right? And if they do, and God has something for us out there that we can do better together than we can do it apart, then partnership makes sense. And our partnership, hands down, what it's about is going to produce the not yet church among the unreached. Man, we were seeing two churches planted a day in the month of April. Two churches planted a day.
Wow.
And what we want to do now is say, hey, is there a lane, not just through financial giving, which Fellowship does great with us on, and it puts resources in our hands, it helps keeps our team on the field, all that type of stuff. It's wonderful. We love it. We thank you for it. The compassion kit, you have 5,000 compassion kits several years ago. Man, those are little force multipliers that are great. We'd love to see that happen again. Our harvest fields would eat them up in about 2 months, right? That's how valuable they are.
Our daughter, Patricia Faith, on a trip in 2016, gave out the compassion kit that she made.
Yeah, that's remarkable. Yeah. And that's not orchestrated because they all go on one big container. Right out there. For her to give out the one she made is really a neat opportunity. But, you know, there's also opportunities to roll your sleeves up, you know, don some indigenous clothing, eat some local foods, and get out there and assist our indigenous teams in evangelism and church planting on a short-term mission trip. And when we think about partnering with Fellowship, I'll be honest with you, we're not dependent on people to go on a short-term mission trip to get this work done. That's just not how it works. We as a FAM team have strategically chosen to offer our partners short-term missions because we want to have a mutually edifying relationship. So when you go on a FAM trip, 80% of your energy, you're going to touch the harvesters. I mean, you're going to impact them. But we reserve, Lord willing, 20% of that, that is going to be focused on you. And we want to come alongside this, the team and the church and the elders and the pastors at Fellowship and say, how can we help you make kingdom disciples who can make other disciples and let a laboratory of discipleship be our short-term missions and our partnership. So Fellowship, hear us loud and clear, mutual edification, come edify the fields and let us pour back into you. And then see, how do we take that movement orientation, that disciple-making intentionality and unleash that upon Central Arkansas and your neighbors.
Story about a young, one young lady that went on a mission trip. Her first mission trip ever was to FAM, and she was a little bit nervous about it. She'd never shared her testimony. She'd never been involved in that kind of a thing. So she worked up her testimony and was really nervous about even practicing because we practiced on each other before we went, and so she felt a little more confident. She did the hook story, but there's a gospel presentation, and she didn't feel like she could do that. Well, we get on the field, and we're walking down a street, and we were with the pastor who is serving as our translator, and he was bringing us to different houses. We're making home visits, and so he says, oh, by the way, we are going to stop in home visits, and you can just share a word. And she goes, she just stopped. And her face is like, I can't do that. I can't do that. I've never done that before. So we encouraged her and said, okay, well, the first few we'll take. And so we did. And so each one, are you ready? Can you do it? No, not yet, not yet. She got to a place where she said, okay. Well, she by the end of that time, she shared, just opened her Bible, heard the story of the family, opened her Bible, chose a story from one of the Gospels, shared that story herself. She shared the Gospel story. She shared her testimony. And she was absolutely, each time she did one of those, I mean, she was literally doing a little bit of a dance. She came back and engaged in serving at FSK with the students, with the kids, and has ever since. And, you know, she's changed because it pushed her to do some things she didn't think she could do. And every time she sees me, she comes and gives me a big old hug. And it was just a beautiful testimony of what God did in her and through her on the field when she was with
Thanks
in
for
India.
Sharing that, Elisa. You know, right now at my house, my wife and I are reading the Chronicles of Narnia to our kids. And there's one phrase that keeps repeating in my mind as I read that. They say, Aslan is on the move.
Yeah.
Aslan is on the move. And the kids in that story are invited into that process. Aslan is on the move. Things are changing. He's moving. Come be a part of what he's doing. And when I think about what's going on around the world and some of the different mission partners that we have on all the different continents, I think God is on the move here in Central Arkansas and around the world. And it may look different in different contexts, but God is on the move. And he's calling us to join in with what he's doing. So, Kevin, thank you for being here with us today. Thanks for coming to do this podcast and sharing a little bit more about FAM and what God is doing through your ministry in Southeast Asia and the Middle East. And Elisa, thanks for sitting in and telling us a little bit more and getting us passionate about the missions that we do here at Fellowship. This has been really good. So if you are listening to this podcast and you want more information, you can go to FAM's website, gofam.org, or you can contact Elisa here at the church, and you can email her and reach out to her if you have questions about FAM, different things like that. As always, you can email Fellowship Talks at fellowshiptalks@fellowshiponline.com. We'd love to hear your stories. And hear what God is doing in your heart. So again, thank you for listening today. Until next time, I'm Dan. And for As You Go, this is Fellowship Talks.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Fellowship Talks. We hope this podcast will help you be a more effective disciple of Jesus Christ as you love God and you love others in your daily context. Fellowship Bible Church exists to make disciples who live by God's grace and for His glory at home and across the world.